I would like now to welcome Linda Siegel with this week's Legislative Update. Welcome.
Good morning, Mary Charlotte.
So week two of the Legislative Update and of the legislature. And let's start with health insurance. That's one of the hot issues.
Yes, as you all probably know, the federal law, the Accountable Care Act, the Patient Protection and Accountable Care Act, requires that every state have a health insurance exchange by January 2014 so that that exchange can offer, in New Mexico, are about 450,000 uninsured people. The exchange could offer them various different types of insurance policies, and then depending on their income level, they would be subsidized in those premium payments. And that goes up to 400% of poverty. So if you're 400% of poverty, which is a
substantial... What does that mean, 400% of poverty?
Well, that's how the federal government determines if you're really poor, you're like at 100% of poverty. And if you're...
But what is like, what does that mean?
Oh, like it's a...
Some number, it's an income per year?
It's an income per year. So a person who is at 138% of poverty would probably be making, a single person, around $15,000 a year.
Okay.
So we have been trying to figure this out since the federal law passed in 2010, and the legislature has passed several exchange bills creating a New Mexico exchange, and the governor has vetoed them. And we're really close now because we have to have it in effect by October of this year so that it can be operational and ready to start offering policies in January.
Now, there is a New Mexico Health Insurance Alliance.
Yes.
Which is exchange-like.
It is, and that is what the governor chose that last year to be the health insurance exchange, because she didn't like the bills the legislature had passed, and there was this existing entity who, to some extent, is already doing that, offering multiple policies out there to small businesses and to some individuals. So right now, it looks like we're going to have some kind of negotiation with the governor and the Democratic-controlled legislature to come up with a solution that everybody can live with. So everybody's going to have to give a little. And one of the hot issues in the exchange is the composition of the board.
Right.
The Health Insurance Alliance, which you shared with me, you get your insurance through, the board is comprised primarily of health insurers. And the federal law requires that there be consumers on that board. And that has been one of the big sticking points between the legislature and the governor. How many consumers, and how's this board going to work? So hopefully they're going to be working this out, because what will happen will be not so good for New Mexico. Because if they can't reach a compromise, then we're going to have to participate in the federal exchange, which we'll have absolutely no control over. We won't know what... The federal exchange isn't really even up and running. The feds
Does
really...
Does it exist?
Well, it exists because they have to have it ready to go in October also.
Uh-huh.
But the feds really didn't want to do... They didn't want to have to do an exchange. They wanted the states to do their own exchange.
Right.
Or do regional exchanges where smaller states combine together and do an exchange. But the feds didn't want to. But many of the Republican governors throughout our state have said, throughout our country, have said, we're not doing a stinking state exchange. So lots of states are going to be in the federal exchange. We really don't want to, because we lose all control of the kinds of policies that are going to be offered and how they will be, the public will access them. Because we've got to go out and tell the public, look, everybody, now you have access to health care because you have access to a payer source for your health care.
Well, I mean, if we had access to what the federal exchange looked like, and what it was going to be like, maybe it's a great exchange.
It's possible, but, you know, states like to control their own destiny. And the legislature has been very clear about that from the very beginning, that they didn't want to be part of the federal exchange. They wanted to be a state exchange. And we don't control the benefit package if it's a federal exchange. There's lots of things we don't control, how our public's going to access it. So I'm very hopeful that we're going to see some real compromise between the administration and the Democrats in the legislature and actually get something that's going to benefit the people of New Mexico.
Which is the goal of all of this.
It is. That is what the legislature is tasked to do.
Now, has there been a track record of reasonable compromise between the governor and the legislature at all?
On any other issues?
Yeah.
Not particularly, no.
Okay.
I mean, we...
So we're breaking new ground.
Yes. I mean, this isn't one of the hot social issues like social school promotion, like immigrant driver's licenses. I mean, this does affect tens of thousands of people in our state, and it does impact our economy.
Yeah.
When all of these, did we talk about Medicaid expansion last week?
Yeah, a little
we
bit.
We did, a little bit. I mean, that's 200,000 approximately people immediately are going to be, well, in January of 2014, eligible for Medicaid. That brings in huge amounts of revenue. The tens of thousands that will now be eligible the same date for health insurance through the exchange, that's going to generate a lot of revenue, people coming and actually accessing the health care that they really need, and we're going to need more providers.
That's right. That's what we talked about last time, is we need more doctors and nurses and everybody.
Right. Yep. Yep.
Okay, so that's health insurance. Now there's some public school legislation.
Yes, here's another area where there's disagreement between the administration and between the Democratic-controlled legislature. And we've seen that over the last couple of years. The governor has really pushed the no social promotion for third graders who can't read. The legislature has not agreed with that, and it's not because they haven't agreed with third graders should be able to read. They've disagreed with the fact that parents and principals and teachers would lose the ability to talk about that and negotiate. And there's a lot of issues around people being promoted that that affect many areas of their life. So it's something that is going to come up again this year with that bill. The other area is in the actual funding. So we spend about $2.5 billion a year on public education. It's about 44% of the total state budget of New Mexico, which is going to be this year about $5.9 billion.
Which is why the system is so good.
Well, and the philosophy disagreement between the Republican administration and the Democratic-controlled legislature also has to do with how we're funding it. Because the governor wants to have a lot of special funding, which we call below the line of the budget. And that would be, okay, if these kids can't read, let's do $10 million to provide tutors and teachers to help them read. And let's provide $5 million to do a principal evaluation. And let's provide this amount of money to do that. All of these items are called what's below the line. What most of the public schools want is an increase in the funding formula amount, the amount of money they get for every child, so that then they can determine, all right, let's get mentors for this kid, and let's help these at-risk children in this way. It's more about the autonomy of the local school districts to get enough money for each student so that they can implement these programs that meet the needs of their school.
Right.
But the governor wants to put quite a few million dollars in these different categories that then school districts have to apply to the public education department to get the money.
Right. It's such a thorny problem because nobody has identified one or two or even three main sources of the problem. There seem to be about 10 or 20 sources of the problem of young people not being able to read.
Right. And in New Mexico, one of the big ones is our high poverty level. It's hard for a child to be able to learn when they're hungry or when they live in a family situation where there's domestic violence.
Right.
And we have a very high percentage of that. And in Santa Fe, we have a very high percentage of kids who English is not their first language.
Yeah, but I mean, as we've talked about in past years, that really shouldn't make any difference at all, because first graders are sponges. They just take in language very quickly.
But it does mean you have to provide some additional education. I mean, you've got to do some additional things so that they can, that have that great skill of having two languages.
It's more to be talked about this issue. There's also some things going on which are what we call crazy, crazy legislation.
Well, and I guess it depends on your perspective. I think yesterday it was all over the news about the legislation that would make the, if a woman had an abortion because she was raped, and the bill said that that would be a crime if she had the abortion because it was taking away the evidence of the crime.
Yeah, the abortion would be destroying evidence.
Yes. So.
Okay, I'm sorry. I, Mary Charlotte Domondi, determined that that's crazy.
Well, I think maybe the legislator who introduced it is going to change that some, but
yeah.
because it did raise the ire of a lot of women's groups. There was a press conference yesterday with some of the women legislators and the group saying, you know, this is, do we really want to victimize the victim again?
Yeah, right.
Something like this.
And it's like, if they're looking for DNA, I'm sorry, the aborted zygote or whatever it's going to be at that point does have,
yes,
DNA,
yes,
that can be used as forensic evidence.
Yeah, and you know, Mary Charlotte, these are these wedge issues that that we seem to be focusing a lot of energy on in our country, in both the state legislatures and in the federal.
Right.
Another bill that.
Well, when you think about that one, it's like, how many actual cases a year will that mean in the state of New Mexico? And we focus a lot of energy on that. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the blender. They used to have a cover on the blender, but no more. He's
okay.
Walked away from the blender. Okay, we're
all
just
right.
Going to pretend it's not there.
There's another one along these lines, which is probably a good bill that a Republican legislator has introduced to take away the parental rights of a rapist, because there have been incidents where the rapist comes and says, "Okay, I want to see my kid, or I want to have custody." That is a long blending.
I know. Anyway, go ahead.
Anyway, I think that is a good bill to take away the rights of the rapist. They should not have any parental rights. They shouldn't be able to force themselves upon the child and the woman who suffered already.
Right. So, what else? What other kinds of bills
another,
are coming up?
Another bill that we might consider crazy from our perspective is one that requires, you know, there's all this talk in the federal system of passing legislation in the Congress and the Senate that would limit guns in some way, some gun control legislation. And
right.
there's a bill in our state that says that we would not follow any of the federal laws if that passed, which, of course, is totally unconstitutional.
I was going to say, that's really constitutional.
Yeah, yeah, but it's a message bill. And then a bill which, you know, people from the other side might think is crazy. Brian Egoff dropped a joint resolution constitutional amendment in to put on the ballot in the 2014 election same-sex marriage.
Okay.
So there you go. Just depends on your perspective.
So what's a joint resolution as opposed to a constitutional amendment?
Well, a joint resolution is really the term we use to talk about constitutional amendments in this arena, and that means it has to pass both the House and the Senate, not be signed by the governor, but go on the general election ballot in the next election. So
okay.
If this were to pass this year in 2013. We know there's an election coming up for everyone to vote on, which is the governor's race and the auditor and
right.
all of that in November of 2014.
So what does that constitutional amendment have to do to get on the ballot? Does it have to go through three committees and stuff like regular bills?
Yep, it goes through. I believe that it has three committee assignments in the House, so it would have to pass all those, and then it would go to the floor of the House where it would have to get a majority vote and go over to the Senate, go through the same process.
But what do you think? What are the chances?
I think that it might be premature. I think it's a little scary to think of this issue on the ballot when we're maybe not quite at that tipping point in New Mexico to have public support for same-sex marriage.
Right. I mean, we've had bills in the past, right?
We've had domestic partner legislation.
That's right.
Which isn't even marriage, though the attempt was to make it an equivalency of marriage, but not call it marriage.
I read an essay recently by a woman who said that same-sex marriage is like the public library. It gives you access to whole worlds of things that you wouldn't have without it. And domestic partnership is like the bookmobile. It's better than nothing, but
right.
it comes in every week and it just isn't the same.
Right. Well, if the federal law, the federal DOMA, is repealed by the Supreme Court, which is possible to happen in a very short period of time, then if people who are married in states have access to 1,069 federal benefits as well as Social Security and federal retirement for their partners, spouses, whatever.
Well, much more to come. Linda Siegel is with us every week during the entire course of the 60-day legislature with the legislative update. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Please stay tuned. I'd like now to welcome Karen Maroli. She is Artistic Director of the Zia Singers. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Hello.
So you, tomorrow and Sunday, are going to be having a concert. It's the winter concert. It's called By Winter's Light, and it's at the Immaculate Heart of Mary Chapel here in Santa Fe. So what's it all about? A chance to, now that Christmas is over, sort of greet the very beginning of the lengthening of the days, or what's going on?
Oh, I hope so. Well, it's sort of a twofold thing. It's a winter concert, obviously, so I thought it might be nice to do poetry and some things, some musical things about winter, but also have been approaching it from the standpoint that winter sometimes is it's an outside thing, and sometimes it's an inside thing. It's a spiritual thing. So that's what the program itself is about.
So there are songs that kind of go into the spiritual dimensions of winter?
Yes. For example, there's a song called The Snow. And it talks about the snow falling and basically the freezing of the earth, but it's also the freezing of your soul, and that it has to come back no matter what happens to you in your life, that it will come back from a winter, spiritual winter or emotional winter. So it's kind of combining ideas of winter and light, and how light has to return after a certain point in time, and
right.
just to kind of hang in there. So.
And I imagine poetry along that same theme.
Yes, exactly. So the poetry is also talking about winter, but there are a number of poems that also have that same idea, where it's talking about winter is happening outside, but it's also happening inside, and what happens inside of you, and that spring will return. So.
And so who are some of the composers of the songs, of the music that you'll be doing?
Elgar. It's kind of a famous one. We're doing a Renaissance piece called "This Evenfall, 'Tis Snowing." It's Caspar Othmeyer that I sort of retranscribed for women's voices rather than the typical SATB. We're doing everything
SATB, soprano, alto, tenor, bass.
Yes, soprano, alto, tenor, bass, but now we just have sopranos and altos in this choir. Everything from that to Dolly Parton. Light of a Clear Blue Morning is a choral arrangement of that. So it's eclectic. One of the Zia Singers put it as it was eclectic, and I think that's a nice description.
So tell us a little more about the Zia Singers. That's a women's choir.
It's an all-women's choir. It is auditioned. They're going to be having auditions soon, actually.
Oh, really?
The Tuesday, the 29th, after the concert in the morning.
Of January.
Yeah, so if anyone wants to sing, they can always contact me to audition as well.
How good do you have to be?
Well, we post it as you don't have to have experience. Basically, what I'm interested in knowing is what your voice sounds like and if you can hear things and learn them, repeat them back. So they don't necessarily have to be champion sight readers or anything like that. So.
Right.
So I like to approach it from a teaching standpoint where I'm not only shaping the music, but I'm also shaping themselves as people or education or anything like that. So if you don't necessarily know what key something is in or, you know, which notes go up and which notes go down, I like to help with things like that as well.
Right, but basically being able to hold a tune,
yes,
here,
mm-hmm,
and have at least somewhat of a singing voice.
Yes, yes. Yeah, somewhat of a singing voice is a good thing.
How many people are in your choir?
Right now, there are about 30. It varies from semester to semester, as I call it. So sometimes they're anywhere from 20 to 30, given the program and what we're doing that day. So.
And you've been doing it now for a couple of years.
I started in September of last year.
Okay.
So this is my third full concert with them. They did a concert with the men in December.
Right. And how's it going so far?
I feel like it's going. I'm really enjoying it. It's going well. It's a new period for all of us, so we're kind of all trying to figure each other out, and I'm doing different things than we've done before. So there's that aspect to it. But
yeah, I mean, a new director, a new artistic, mm-hmm, director always brings a different taste and sensibility to even the choice of music.
Right. Yes. Yes. And I think there's been a lot of that. So. It's been very interesting. It's fun. It's a good growing experience for me as well.
The Zia Singers will be presenting a concert called By Winter's Light on Saturday, the 26th of January. That's tomorrow at 7 o'clock. And then Sunday, January 27th at 3 o'clock at the Immaculate Heart of Mary Chapel. That's at 50 Mount Carmel Road, and that's just off of Old Santa Fe Trail and sort of on your way up to Montisol, on your way up to St. John's College.
That's right.
You can find out more at theziasingers.com. Karen Morelli is Artistic Director. Thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And I'd like to welcome Rob DeWalt. He is with the Pasa Tiempo Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexican. He's with us every Friday, or many Fridays, speaking of the arts. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning. So what's going on this weekend?
There's a bunch of food stuff going on this weekend.
I'd love to eat food.
Yeah. It's the best way to do it.
I think so.
What, you know a shortcut? If you know a shortcut, let me know.
IV steak.
There's the Super Bowls this weekend.
Yes, I'm going to be at that. I'm one of the MCs along with the wonderful Ira Gordon of KBIC.
I'm going to be there just eating soup.
Good.
And it's supposed to be like rainy and nasty tomorrow, so it'll be a good soup day for sure.
You know, I think when you're in a drought, rainy isn't nasty anymore.
No, it's not. I mean, unless you're like me and like you just hate being cold and wet.
Yeah.
Then there's that.
But you know what? You can get a rain cold.
No. That's too much trouble.
Yeah, good point.
It's easier to complain.
So the Super Bowl is starts at noon, and it's at the Santa Fe Community Convention Center.
Yeah, noon on Saturday. And I think there's around 25 restaurants this year. I think they're only selling about 1,200 tickets, and this thing always sells out,
yeah,
really.
And it's a tremendous benefit for the Food Depot and for fighting hunger.
Yes, which is a big problem in the state of New Mexico.
Indeed it is.
As we all know. No, they just moved into their new warehouse, and they can serve up to 10 million meals a year now. And they need volunteers, too. So you should go to foodepot.org and figure out how you can volunteer.
A wonderful
and
organization.
And you should get your tickets.
Yes.
Now, I would try and get tickets at the door because when I ordered online, they were supposed to be mailed to me. And so if they're mailed out today, they're not going to get to you.
By tomorrow morning at noon.
Yeah. Mine never showed up anyway. So.
Uh-oh.
That's all right. We got it figured out.
Good.
That's not the Food Depot's fault. That's the post office's fault.
Right.
Okay, so there's that, and that's Saturday. But tonight, well, it's actually this afternoon. I'm going to ditch that. I'm going to, like, sneak out of work early. Don't tell my boss.
Oh, no, she's not listening.
But from 4 to 8 p.m. Is Winter Brew at the Santa Fe Farmers Market Pavilion.
Brew.
Winter Brew. This is the second one. They had one last year. It sold out really fast. Chris Goblet, who is New Mexico's beer ambassador for the New Mexico Brewers Guild, just announced that there's only 100 tickets left at the door. No online sales. So if you want to go, you should probably show up before four and stand in line if you want a ticket.
All right. Winter Brew.
Yeah.
I'm loving it.
You want to run down of what's going on? Let's see. 15 breweries and local distillery Santa Fe Spirits is going to be there. There's going to be all kinds of restaurants serving food.
Excellent.
And the food is priced between $1 and $5. It's really inexpensive. And I'm not going to say how much tickets are, but when you get your ticket, you get to sample as many beers as you want. And then if you want to buy a pint, you can buy a pint too. And they have a system for doing that. It's very strange.
And they're little tiny sort of like NyQuil-sized cups.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think, I don't remember how they did it last year, if they just, like, give you a cup and you just, you know, walk around with it.
Yeah.
And the smart ones will actually rinse it out for you, so you can, you know.
Yeah, so your cup is cleansed.
Yes. So, anyway, that's tonight. That's this afternoon. It starts at 4 o'clock. Show up. It's going to be fun. And I think there's only, like, 650 or 700 tickets, but that place gets packed.
Excellent.
So, those two things are happening. What else is going on?
Well, I'll tell you one thing that's going on. I got a notice from the local group of Amnesty International, and they have let us know that Cipriana Jurado was forced to flee her home in Ciudad Juarez, Mexico, with her two children in fear of being murdered for her stand against the disappearances, murders, and harassment of the workers at the maquiladores, those factories that were set up when NAFTA went into effect. They fled to Chicago. They're under the protection of the Chicago Religious Leadership Network on Latin America. They got political asylum, and now they live in Santa Fe with the help of the Westminster Presbyterian Church, and she will be speaking, Ms. Jurado, on Monday from 5:30 to 7 at 1804 Espinacitas Street. And that's one block off of St. Michael's Drive between 5th Street and the railroad tracks. And you can support the Women of Juarez. If you want more information, you can call 988-2293 or look for the Santa Fe local group of Amnesty International.
Sweet. Hey, happy Robert Burns Day.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's Robert Burns Day.
Oh, really? Can you say more about that?
No.
Oh, yes, you can.
He's a celebrated Scottish poet. You know, he wrote Auld Lang Syne and a lot of other things that a lot of people don't know.
Why is it Robert Burns Day? Is it his birthday?
It's his birthday.
Oh.
Yeah. I think it's his 254th birthday. He's not looking good.
But he sounds as great as ever.
Right. So, yeah, good luck finding haggis to celebrate Robert Burns Day in this town. But
yeah, you know, make your own haggis.
Make your own haggis.
Just chop stuff up.
Just chop a bunch of innards up and stuff them in an animal's stomach and steam it for 3 hours.
Put it in the Santa Fe Baking Company blender. All right, here's one from the Taos Community Chorus. They are preparing a program of spirituals, and they are inviting people to join in. Rehearsals begin on Monday, February 4th. Oh, I guess we're a week in advance. But anyway, if you want more information on that, you can go to TaosChorus.com or you can call 575-776-3998. I don't know if there's an audition or if you can just join in. But anyway, you can give them a call.
You can give them a call.
TaosChorus.com.
Hey, the Sticky is playing.
Oh.
You like the Sticky?
I have been told that I cannot live without the Sticky, and I haven't been yet, but
you
I got to go.
Saturday they're playing at the Rail Yard Performance Center.
Nice.
Yeah, they had a long-standing gig at Rouge Cat, which, you know, they're not there anymore, but Rail Yard Performance Center is actually a great place to see live music. And they're going to be there at Saturday at what time? Oh, 9 p.m. Tickets are, I think, available at the door. And Funkalicious. Really, just Funkalicious.
You've heard them.
Yes.
They're fantastic. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
And so.
The Sticky.
Yeah. And you already talked about the Zia Singers.
Yes.
Very recently.
Yes.
As a matter
Minutes
of fact,
ago.
Right? What else is happening? Oh, here. Here's something. The Underground. 9 p.m. Sunday, January 27th, a punk reunion. The Floors, one of Santa Fe's original punk bands from back in the 80s. are going to be having a little reunion show there at 9 p.m. on Sunday.
Excellent.
That's going to be neat. Who else is playing? Oh, Antique Scream, which is a great Seattle-based blues metal, sort of blues rock, I'd say, actually, band. They're going to be there also. The Underground is inside of Angelo's, if you don't know that. It's down in the bowels.
What street are we talking about?
It's on San Francisco Street.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You know, right there on the corner.
Now, there's an opening reception tomorrow at 5:30 for the Millicent Rogers Museum 11th Annual Miniatures Show and Sale. And that seems to be, well, let's see. Seems to be at the Spanish Colonial Arts Society. It seems to be at the on Museum Hill. But it's, is that right? Anyway, yeah. If for more information, you can call 982-2226. And the show goes on through the 24th of February.
Sweet. Hey, we should talk about Judy Shepherd coming to town.
Yes.
She's coming, let's see, 7 p.m. next Tuesday at the Lenzic Performing Arts Center.
Free, and free, free, no tickets required.
Right. Free, 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 no tickets required. First come, first serve. This is a really important thing that they're doing, especially now, I think, in Santa Fe.
Judy Shepherd, mother of Matthew Shepherd, who was killed in 1998, I think it was.
Yes.
It was a terrible, awful hate crime.
Yes, an awful hate crime. And since Matthew's death, Judy Shepherd has been a huge advocate for the LGBTQ community. And it's kind of rare to have her come down here. You know, we've seen the Laramie Project. We've seen the Laramie Project 10 years later. Capital High School is responsible for bringing Judy Shepherd here. Thank you, Capital High.
Yay.
And they have an erase hate, anti-bullying program there at the school. I wrote a story. I got an exclusive interview with Judy Shepherd in today's Pozzatiempo.
Excellent.
It's I think especially for Santa Fe, where a lot of people think this is a very tolerant place. And in some ways it is. But for gays and lesbians, it's still a huge uphill battle.
There's a way to go.
Not only in terms of rights, but in terms of acceptance and hate, really.
Well, it was interesting because I had those guys on the air earlier this week, and they were talking about how Capitol High was putting on a performance of the Laramie Project, and that some of the parents didn't want their children to participate in this because it had gay themes.
Yes, they pulled them out because of the subject matter. Which is proof enough that there's still a lot of work that needs to be done.
It's like, get over it.
I know.
You're on the losing side of history.
I know.
It's boring.
I know, but it
takes so much energy to hate. It takes so little energy to just like your neighbor, if not love them.
I would encourage some of our fine legislators to go and see Judy Shepherd speak on Tuesday.
Ah, oh, great. Good idea.
Yeah. They're going to be busing students in from Capitol High School. I would hope that some of the other schools would get on board and also give students that option. Get a bunch of people together, put them on a bus, and bring them down there.
Okay, legislators, students, and parents.
And parents. Good.
All right.
Yeah.
It's Lenzic is already going to fill up.
Lenzic is going to fill up. Yeah, this is a one-night-only deal, so.
Yep. And totally free. You just walk in.
Just walk in.
Now, Felines and Friends has, as you can imagine, sent me
a kitty.
A kitty of the week.
Kitty.
And this week's featured kitty is Jem, an energetic and playful boy who loves to be in the middle of the action. And he's friendly with other cats and cat-friendly dogs who don't like to eat cats. And he's living with dogs and cats in his foster home. He loves human attention. He purrs when he's being petted or snuggled. He's quite extroverted and would not be happy as an only cat. He wants to be around other animals. He loves male cats. And he has a short coat with brown tabby markings. For more information, call 316-2281. That's in the 505 area code. Email askfelinesandfriends@yahoo.com, or you can just go to fnfnm.org. So that's Felines and Friends. I love how all these cats have such very different personalities.
I know.
You really, it's like we've said before, it's like kittymatch.com.
Kittymingle? Kittymingle.com?
And you really have to get the right cat for you. Have you got a puppy yet?
No. No, have not yet. I think we've decided we're going to wait for ski season to be over.
Ah.
So that my partner can be around more.
Yeah.
And we can share more of the responsibilities of raising this, whatever we decide to get.
Okay.
You know, adopt, I should say. I don't, you know. But I've seen many people have sent me pictures of dogs that need adoption right away. And unfortunately, I can't do it right now. But
yeah.
But, you know, always trying to find homes for the good ones.
So the film Any Day Now is being held over at the screen, which is quite a wonderful film made last year. Another gay theme, gay adoption, and disabled kid. Quite a wonderful dream, film.
Based on a true story. Screenplay written 30 years ago by a guy who wrote for My Little Pony cartoons.
You know... one thing that I'm finding is that there are people who do vastly different things. You know, the same person will do a kind of romantic drama, and then they'll do like a, you know, Starfleet battleship cartoon.
The Coen brothers.
Yeah.
I would say that's my example is the Coen brothers. They're all over the map.
Yeah.
And they have a new movie coming out, too.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. The trailer's up. It's kind of a... it's about a folk musician. You should check the trailer out.
Okay.
On to other things. What else is going on? Did we talk about the Flying Cow Gallery at Warehouse 21? Dragonfly Art Studio students ages 6 to 12 are having an opening tomorrow from 4 to 7 p.m. And Flying Cow Gallery is, of course, at Warehouse 21.
Excellent.
Ooh.
You know, the blending just ain't like it used to be.
I know. This is why they don't allow blender drinks in a lot of bars in Santa Fe.
Oh, right.
The noise.
Yeah. Well, at Collected Works, they won't even run the cappuccino machine if somebody's giving a talk.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
That's respectful.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they're disrespectful.
No.
But I'm saying they need a cover for the blender.
I'm saying they have an entire kitchen. They can put the blender in the kitchen. That's what I'm saying.
That's an interesting point.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, gosh. I forgot to mention this. Matis Yahoo. We have an interview with reggae alt-rock songwriter Matis Yahoo in today's Pasatiempo. He is performing on Thursday the 31st at the Lenzik. There's a story on page 18 in today's Pasatiempo, and tickets are available at ticketsantafe.org or by calling 988-1234 or strolling up to the ticket office. I guess they call them the box office.
Box office.
I never understood that because it looks like a box.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Hmm. Daryl Cherney will be in Taos showing his new film, Who Bombed Judy Barry, tomorrow at 7:30 at the Taos Community Auditorium. And that is the film about two Earth First activists who were bombed by the FBI, and the FBI accused them of bombing themselves. And
yes,
this whole thing went on and on, and I think the FBI was eventually held accountable, but it was a very great drama and a real tragedy for these two Earth activists. And so this guy made a movie about it, and you can... go up to Taos, or perhaps you're listening in Taos or nearby, and get your tickets at the Taos Community Auditorium.
Sweet. Hey, do you have a garden?
Of sorts.
Of sorts.
I am not the world's best gardener.
On Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. at Bishop's Lodge Ranch Resort and Spa, Michael Clark is going to discuss winter garden maintenance. Pruning, watering, other projects.
Nice.
Things to make it easier for you when you start planting in the spring and all that jazz.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
I was told that
garden is like a 365-day-a-year thing.
Do you garden 365 days a year,
Rob?
You
know, we moved into our house in August, so we didn't have time to get started on a garden. So this is the year.
Yeah. So the Winter Classic Weekend Recital from Santa Fe Pro Musica. Did you read that one already?
No.
Okay. Is tonight at 7:30 at the Lenzik, and that's Jan Lisecki on piano performing Chopin's 12 etudes, a bunch of different etudes, and then there's also Winter Classic Weekend Concerto featuring Jan Lisecki performing Beethoven Piano Concerto No. 4, and that's tomorrow at 3 in the afternoon, and Overture to the Creatures of Prometheus and some Haydn also. Very, very, very good stuff. And what do you know about Jan Liseki on piano?
I know he's very young. I know he's like 17 or 18 years old.
Another one of these young virtuosos.
Prodigies. Yeah. The people that, you know, that you'll take your children to see the concert and say, see, this is why you should have stayed in piano lessons.
You can't do that stuff on purpose.
No,
if
that
you're
would be
called
wrong.
To it, you can do it.
Yeah. I know. You got to have a passion for it.
Yeah.
You know, like gardening or making blender drinks.
Right. Oh, by the way, there's a workshop called Alternatives to Violence. It's the basic workshop. Did you hear about that?
No.
It's a 17-hour interactive workshop that develops community building and conflict resolution skills and nonviolent communication skills. And it starts today and it goes through the weekend at the Unitarian Universalist Church. Now, I probably should have announced this last week, but it's very inexpensive. And for more information, you can call 988-1817 or you can go to avpusa.org. AVP. I guess it's Alternative Violence Project USA. avpusa.org.
avpusa.org.
Now I've said it 17 times.
AVP, you. Hey, have you been to the Jules Works Follies?
You know, I've been having him on almost every time, but I haven't been over there yet. Have you been?
No.
Well, I
you
love
know,
what
not,
he does.
They're not over there at Lucky Bean because there's no Lucky Bean.
There's no Lucky Bean anymore.
They're at Spectre Rips Project Space. And
okay.
Actually, let's see, when is it happening? Let me figure this out. 1 second.
All right.
Oh, it's happening at 6 p.m. on Sunday. And I'm sorry, that's totally wrong. It's at Rouge Cat.
That's what I was, because last time they were at Rouge Cat.
Yeah.
So I think they're trying to establish a location that works, and hope that's one of them.
Yeah, no, that's happening at 6 p.m. So I got confused because the CCA's closing party for the exhibit Forget Your Perfect Offering is on Sunday at the Spectre Project Space from 1 to 6. So in a perfect world, you could go to the closing party for this exhibit, right, and then you could go to Jules Works at Rouge Cat.
And did you know that the New Mexico Coalition for Choice is having a 40th anniversary of Roe versus Wade and two events? One of them is today at 1:30, a rally at the Roundhouse at the Rotunda, and then a party at 3 o'clock, and they're going to have a three-tiered birthday cake and coffee, and you can hang out and socialize, and that's at the Santa Fe Community Foundation at 501 Helena Street, which is right near Paseo de Peralta, right off Paseo, but across the street from the Roundhouse.
Neat.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
That's happening.
That's happening. That's totally happening.
It's like happening.
There's this really interesting Santa Fe Soul Stage and Grill out there by Santa Fe Brewing Company has been having a lot of Mexican bands out there lately.
Nice.
And so at 7 p.m. on Sunday, this Sunday, they're having a band from Chihuahua, Mexico, who's been in the business for 30 years, Los Caporales de Chihuahua. Okay, música ranchera. And who else is going to be there? El Son de Juarez and DJ Tasmania.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's going to be cool. Tickets are available at the Soul Santa Fe website.
Nice. Yeah, it's always fun to go to events that a lot of people are at from a whole different part of the city that you don't know.
I did that once. I went to I think it was Phaedra. So one of our Phaedra Haywood, I think, wrote a story about the nightclub inside Lulu's Chinese restaurant. And they have like salsa nights, and you go in there, and everyone's got their pointy boots and cowboy hats on. And
that's not salsa nights.
Not salsa nights. It's like ranchera. It's it's like narco corridos and stuff. It's so much fun.
Yeah.
You know, basically because
it's a different kind of dancing. You don't move your hips.
Sometimes you want to go where nobody knows your name.
That's true.
Yeah, and that's a good place for me to go.
And if you speak out loud, they'll say, hey, aren't you Rob DeWalt?
No, I won't.
That happened to you the other day.
It did?
Yeah.
Oh, no, it happened to you.
It happened to both of us. We were talking and people recognized our voices.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I am.
So, anything else going on this weekend?
We haven't talked about movies.
We have not talked about movies.
We haven't talked about Beware of Mr. Baker, which is a documentary about drummer Ginger Baker, right?
Go for it.
And, you know, he pounded the skins for Cream, right?
Ah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Now I know what you're saying.
And
where's that?
That is at the Screen.
Oh, okay. There's a lot of good stuff happening at the Screen.
Yes. Yes, there is. And then there's also The Rabbi's Cat, which looks really, really fun. And that is at, there's a review in today's Plus Tiempo, and that is at CCA.
Excellent.
Wonderful. I believe it's an, yeah, it's an animated film.
And then Performance Sunday, this coming Sunday at 11 in the morning, the Netherlands Dance Theater is doing a, well, I mean, it's a, what is that? I guess, is it a high definition thing? Or are they really there?
I don't know.
Anyway, it's called, no, it must be a movie, but it's Netherlands Dance Theater, choreographed by, I'm just going to say it as if it were in English, Jiri Kilian. And, yep, Sunday at 11 in the morning. And that should be fantastic. And what else is happening over at the Screen? Barbara is held over from, and that is a German, the Academy Award nomination, and as we talked about, Any Day Now. And, yeah.
Yeah.
And what's the CCA? Oh, you've already mentioned that.
Let's see, Chasing Ice is still there.
That is a good movie.
Yes.
Oh, my God, that's such a good movie.
Stunning. Stunning to look at.
Yep.
I could do without all the weird knee stuff, but...
yeah, you
know.
There
was a little too much of that, but stunning to look at.
Yes, the photographer does have compromised knees.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen. But that's not the main point.
No, it's not.
The main point is that they put cameras on glaciers, and we see time-lapse glacier-melting photography and video, and it is as beautiful as it is disturbing.
Yes. That's a good way of putting it.
Yep.
Hey, there's a lot of openings tonight. There's one at Zane Bennett. There's one at a C Gallery. There's one at Santa Fe Clay. There's one at Hillside Market on Old Las Vegas Highway. There's one at Charlotte Jackson Fine Art. There's one at A Gallery Santa Fe. Right? And one for at the Marion Center for Photographic Arts over at the Santa Fe University of Art and Design. And we have to say we've already talked about the Flying Cow Gallery is having an opening tomorrow. We've already talked about that. Museum of Spanish Colonial Art is having a filigree and finery, the Art of Spanish Elegance. It's a beautiful exhibit. There's a story on page 30.
Is that the same one that I was trying to figure out what was going on before with the miniatures? That must be...
Miniatures.
Anyway,
it's a gorgeous exhibit. What I've seen is fabulous.
All right.
And
that is opening today.
That is opening today, and Jennifer Levin wrote a great story about it in today's Paso Tiempo.
And the Paso Tiempo is looking as beautiful as ever.
Yes.
Rob DeWalt is with the Paso Tiempo, Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexican. He's with us just about every other Friday speaking of the arts, and it's always great to have you on the air.
It's great to be here.
And we are the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santaferadiocafe.org, thanks to Dot Foil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, I think. You can find us at Radio Cafe, no, facebook.com/Radio Cafe MC. And, you know, I tried to tweet, but I haven't tweeted in
forever.
3 months. I'm constitutionally incapable of tweeting. I should probably cancel that account.
Yeah.
Or else get somebody to tweet for me. Do you get people to tweet for you, or do you tweet yourself?
I do it 4 times a day.
You tweet 4 times a day?
Yes.
You'll have to tell me your tweet secrets.
Keeps the system clean. Just,
whatever is bothering you, you get it out there. That's disturbing. Anyway, we want to thank the wonderful Mary Lynn LeBlanc for engineering today. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. Keep up to date on all the crazy stuff going on in the legislature.
Mm-hmm.
And after 9:05 or so, jazz on KSFR, ksfr.org. Hasta la vista.
Bye.
Ciao.